Wednesday, August 26, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope that you and your family and your friends are all staying healthy. Hope everyone in your life is staying positive. We are glad to have you here with us today. And you know what? We have a very special day today because August 26th is actually National Dog Day. Yeah, and they encourage dog ownership of all breeds. Now, according to the National Dog Foundation, they say when you look for a dog, be sure to consider the mutts, the mixes, the purebreds, everything in between. Because whether they're mixed or whether they're purebred, you are supposed to embrace the opportunity for all dogs to live a happy, safe, and abuse-free life. Hey, dogs give us companionship. Additionally, they keep us safe. They aid those in need. Dogs love to play. And dogs play a number of roles in our lives. I mean, they keep us healthy. They actually say both physically and mentally, if you have a dog, it does help your health. Now, while many days aim to find loving homes for dogs, this day actually wants you to consider to look beyond just the breed. Look into the actual dog. The purpose of National Dog Day is to rescue 10,000 dogs each year. And you might be hearing this and you might be going, well, that's all great. I mean, we need to rescue dogs and we love dogs and we take care of dogs. But what in the world do dogs have to do with sports? Well, I mean, if you stop and you think about it, we've actually had a lot of dogs in the world of sports. Of course, we have dog racing. You have the greyhounds or whatever, and they run and they do the laps, kind of like horse racing, but dog racing, you can go bet on dog racing, I guess. Never done it, but I guess that's a thing. You have the Iditarod, where the sled dogs go pull some fool on a sled across like Alaska or something. You have a number of dog mascots in sports. Now, I mean, we can stretch and like we can go into like the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Phoenix Coyotes, but if we go to college sports, think of all the dogs we have. We have like a million Bulldogs. We have so many Bulldogs. We have a million Huskies. We even have the Salukis and the Terriers and even the St. Bernards. But as we're talking dogs today, right now, on the Daily Dose, who can forget the most important dog in the history of sports? That's right, kids. I'm talking about Air Bud, the dog that plays basketball for his middle school team. Now, let me tell you something. A little side note on Air Bud. I coached basketball for a number of years, and I could have like an all-state player starting like point guard. Well, the parents of the backup player are like, Coach, why isn't my Johnny getting any minutes? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Johnny can barely keep his shorts up in the layup line. Meanwhile, the first team player that he's sitting behind is an all-state player who averages like 28 points per game. Do you really think Johnny deserves any minutes whatsoever? And the parents are still mad. They're like, I don't care. If you put Johnny in, he'd be the one scoring the 28 points per game. Why isn't Johnny getting any minutes? He's sitting the bench. But imagine this for 1 second. Imagine little Johnny is sitting the bench, not getting any minutes because a freaking dog is getting his minutes. That dog doesn't have to keep his GPA up. That dog doesn't have asthma. That is completely unfair. Like, I think I would even be upset if my kid wasn't getting the minutes for a dog. Why in the world is a dog getting playing time? That dog doesn't attend school there. It doesn't make any sense. Plus, I don't really think it would be that hard to shut Air Bud down. I mean, you run out on the court with like a rolled up newspaper and that dog is scared to death to shoot. He's not scoring again. I mean, I'd bring a cat to the gym. Game over. I just took out your best scorer. Anyways, happy National Dog Day to you and your dog. If your dog listens, I know that my dog Jack, he does appear every once in a while on the Daily Dose if you listen real, real closely. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us about your favorite dog. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, DailyDoseSports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at DailyDoseSports. And I know I've been telling you every single week, but I've been hearing from a number of you. If you want to talk sports, if you're bored, if you're struggling with all the shutdowns and you're not going out as much as you used to, reach out to us here at the Daily Dose. We would love to hear what it is they have to say. Got a question, got a comment, just want to talk some sports, reach out. We want to hear from our listeners. Also remember, we do now place a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. So make sure that you go over there and you subscribe to the Daily Dose over there. We just put a small snippet of the podcast up. See a little bit of video of what's going on here at the studio, and you can check out a new video each and every week of the podcast. So make sure you go check that out. Leave us some good ratings. Like a few videos. We'd appreciate that. Hey, and as long as you're doing all of that online shopping, make sure that you go pick up your Daily Dose gear at tpublic.com. tpublic.com is doing a number of sales right now. We've got Daily Dose social distancing masks. And if you go buy one, TeePublic will actually donate a medical grade mask to Direct Relief, which is kind of nice. But we've got t-shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got sweatshirts with a number of Daily Dose logos on them. You can pick different styles, you can pick different colors, a number of Daily Dose items over at TeePublic.com. Just search Daily Dose, scroll until you see our logo, click on that, and you're going to find exactly what you need. But make sure you stop by TeePublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we have some news to discuss, but then we have a guest joining us today. Of course, sports are starting back up. Meanwhile, we have other sports like some high schools, some college sports. They seem to be on hold. Well, we have someone today who has some inside knowledge of exactly what is going on with the restart of those sports. Russ McKinstry is a longtime basketball coach and a longtime sports administrator. I am hoping that he can shed some light on what is going on right now. We're going to get to him in just a few minutes. But first, let's speed through some breaking sports news. Despite nearly beating the eventual NBA champions last season, the Philadelphia 76ers were swept out of the first round of the playoffs this year, and they have now fired their head coach, Brett Brown. Now, I'm not sure Brett Brown was a great coach. There were a number of things up there with Philly that I looked at and said, well, I mean, I guess that's one way to go about things. I'm not sure I'd go that route, but let's be real clear. Joel Embiid, his superstar in Philadelphia, he is now officially a coach killer because all he does is talk and talk and talk and then not be in shape and not produce in the clutch. Whatever sap they get to take that job next, yeah, you're going to have a lot of headaches working with Joel Embiid because he did nothing to help Brett Brown whatsoever. Let's move over to the NFL, where the Baltimore Ravens have now released 7-time Pro Bowl safety Earl Thomas after he was involved in a physical altercation with a teammate in practice last week. Good news, Earl can now spend more time with the wife, whose domestic violence trial is set to begin in September. You might remember that was for when she held a gun to Earl's head after she caught him and his brother with some Instagram skanks in some sort of weird incestual orgy, which is a sentence I never thought I would say here on the Dose. You know, Earl's life has all been downhill since Titans running back Derrick Henry ragdolled him last year in the playoffs. Now, we'll see if anyone's going to take a chance on Earl, but I'm saying this right now, his baggage seems to be outweighing his talent, and we know that's not a good sign. Finally, if you have ever thought that the college football polls are one of the more idiotic things in all of sports, well, we've got some proof this week that you are, in fact, actually correct. Because the first college football AP poll came out this week with the Clemson Tigers ranked at number one. Okay, well, I mean, that seems fair. Clemson is loaded year after year, it seems. But then the poll also featured 9 Big Ten and Pac-12 teams, which is kind of funny because none of those schools will be playing this fall. So why rank them? Why put them in the polls? If you're just making up teams that aren't going to be playing college football, I mean, you could put the Toronto Argonauts or like the Detroit Pistons on the poll. Who cares? Now, I did also notice that the Cincinnati Bearcats are ranked number 19, which I kind of thought was interesting, because they're going to be playing football this year. And high school football in Ohio is going to be playing this year. But Ohio State, who was ranked number two in this poll, they won't be playing because they're in the Big Ten.
Man, that's just mean.
The NCAA playoff committee, by the way, says they are going to be picking a four-team playoff this December. If college football makes it to that point, I'm telling you right now, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they may never fully recover from sitting this all out. Because you're going to have other teams going out and earning that playoff money while you're sitting on the sideline talking nonsense about what you might maybe do in the spring. I know they would never do this, but I'm telling you, the Big Ten and Pac-12 have to be cheering for the virus to flare up throughout college football. They're going to be rooting against college football this year because sitting out, they might not come back from that. One more brief story in college sports that we need to touch on just real quick. Going to get over to Russ McKinstry. But the NCAA has approved 12 hours per week of practice time for the athletes of schools that are not playing games. Now, think about that for a second. You're allowed to have 12 hours of practice time out there practicing like you'd be getting ready for the games. Because apparently, this virus knows the difference between practices and games. Kids never ever forget that. This virus is extraordinarily very, very wise. It can tell whether or not you're out on the field practicing football or whether or not you're out on the field playing a game of football. That is actually completely amazing to me. Okay, coming back, sports have now restarted. The NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, the PGA, auto racing, MMA, boxing, they're all back. NFL training camps are rolling. Some colleges are getting ready for the football season. Well, here in Colorado, we aren't playing high school football. We aren't even playing college football. It doesn't look like we're going to be waiting until spring, so they say. When we come back, we are going to be talking to a friend of ours that understands sports and was probably in a few of those meetings where they actually decided this plan. We've got a lot of questions for him today about those decisions and just about sports in general. We're going to get to longtime basketball coach Russ McKinstry when we get back. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose is a longtime friend of the show and a longtime friend of mine, a man that knows sports because he's been living sports for years. Russ McKinstry has coached basketball for years. He won titles. He sent kids to college and to play professionally, but he also has been in sports administration for years as well. And I wanted to have him on because I want to discuss the restart of sports with the guy who actually understands what's really going on. Coach McKinstry, school is back in session. Pro sports have restarted. How are you feeling today?
Oh, man. Coach Daly, how you doing? I'm doing great. Trying to trudge through the misery of the heat of the summer and the wildfires in Colorado and all the controversy surrounding our political scenario in this country. And thankfully, we do have some sports that have started up again to provide some normalcy. But even those really aren't normal. So I'm doing the best I can under the situation that we're dealing with.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. I'm assuming that you are now back to work. You work in a school district here in Colorado, and I'm assuming that you are now back. Are kids back in school up there?
You know, our kids come back starting tomorrow. They don't really come back. We're doing remote learning up here in Fort Collins. So all the kids K through 12 will be learning remotely, virtually through the first quarter, which ends October 16th. So we have the next 9 weeks learning from home and trying to make the best of that situation. We are actually bringing some small groups of kids back onto campus for different reasons. So we'll kind of see how that goes. And hopefully maybe even before October 16th, we can get the kids back to school.
Coach, we talked about this months back. You came on the show and we talked about fear. Fear is holding people hostage right now, especially in this country. And I wanted to get your thoughts on getting back to sports. Now, believe me, before we go into any of that, I'm not anti-mask guy. I don't think the virus is fake or this has all been a huge political thing. I think there's some weird political stuff going on. But getting back to sports, there's some really weird things going on right now. And I want to talk to you about them. Plus, I just want to discuss what is going on in the world of sports right now, because we have a lot of things starting up and a lot of things that are rolling along and playoffs games are going and there's some really good stuff going on. Coach, like I said, we talked back in March or April, but we're really seeing it now. One of the biggest things I take away from this whole pandemic, leadership is non-existent. The people that should be leading, they're hiding under their beds, and they're trying to convince the rest of us to stay under our beds too, but that's not healthy. Staying under our beds is not a healthy lifestyle. It's avoiding the problem, and it could be creating a host of other problems in the future. We're going to see depression, anxiety, suicides, drug use, child abuse, alcoholism. Those things are going to go up because so many people wanted to stay under their beds and not confront the problems we face. And I see that when we're talking about sports. People are saying, well, let's just wait it out. Let's just wait. I don't know that we can do that. Don't we kind of have to figure out how to learn to live in this weird time?
Yeah, it's, very unprecedented. And as we all know, we've talked about it many times on your podcast about adversity exposing someone's character or maybe lack of ability to be a leader during difficult times. So you're seeing a lot of that. And I think the thing that is most difficult, I think, for people is just acknowledging that we can't protect everybody, that we don't have the answers to protect every single incident and every single person. So we have all these plans in place that help us mitigate and minimize risk during the COVID. But we just don't want to take that next step, which is the rational step of we know it's going to happen. So when it does happen, what are we going to do? And we have nobody that's willing to provide an answer or leadership under those circumstances. So, you know, we're put in a situation where we're scrambling because all of a sudden, what we know is going to happen. A kid's going to get the virus. So what are we going to do when the kid gets the virus? And our answer right now is, okay, let's just shut it down. Let's go back into hiding under the bed. And, instead of having a clear thought out, realistic process of, okay, we know it's going to happen. We know we've got to quarantine a minimal amount of people for everybody's safety, but we have to be able to trudge through this and keep going through that process. That's, I think, where people just have a lack of focus, a lack of realistic expectations of how to handle adversity, and we're in quicksand. We're just bogged down in that process right now.
Coach, I'm so glad you said that because I couldn't agree with that more. We know things like positive tests are coming. Okay, well, what are we going to do? We've had 3 or 4 months to come up with a plan, and it seems like they go, we got a positive test. Everybody back under your beds. And I'm going, that's the plan you came up with? That's the best you can do? It doesn't make any sense to me. Coach, in the state of Colorado, high school sports have mostly been postponed. They've got a couple of sports going right now in the fall. You've got softball's going for the girls. You've got some cross country, I think maybe boys tennis, but football has been postponed until the spring. I know you probably sat in on a lot of meetings where those decisions were being made. You were at least aware of what was going on. How did they come to that decision to postpone those things? Do you know?
Yeah, I was part of the process and was part of some committees that was directly involved with how that decision was made. And I think the misconception is that JASA, or our governing body that oversees all of high school athletics in Colorado, really was the driving force behind the decision to move everything basically until after the holiday break and start everything up in January and finish up in late June, hoping that by, doing that, a vaccine would be developed or we would get through the initial stages of flu and how the flu and virus might combine to really make this a difficult fall, early winter for all of us. So that decision wasn't JASA. JASA actually wanted to continue on as is. And like we've just discussed, realizing that it's not going to be perfect, that there will be kids that get the virus. Most of those kids, as we've seen, will not suffer probably any type of effects from the virus, won't even know they have it, probably. Some will be minimal, but the expectation from what we've seen from the data is that students wouldn't be extremely sick or negatively impacted by even testing positive. And we just have to, plow through that process knowing that it could be disruptive, but it shouldn't stop us from doing it. But that view was not shared by the task force that the state of Colorado uses under Governor Polis's direction. And I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming the task force. It's just a group of people, doctors, health experts that determined, our best bet was to, delay the process, delay sports and the re-engagement of students until after the holidays. And again, it goes back to nobody had a sound plan that they felt comfortable with. If we did have an outbreak in a school, if we had an outbreak with a football team, what were we going to do when and if that happens? And it's going to happen. We're seeing it in Major League Baseball and college football. You're going to have those cases where, you know, it's going to impact your team. So what do you want to do once that happens? And that's where everything went into total chaos and flux, is that nobody had a good strategy and nobody wanted to be accountable for what happens when a circumstance like that arises. And I think, again, that goes back to your concept of leadership and what leadership is all about. If someone's not willing to take accountability for their actions, then you have no plan. No matter what you think you have in place, you really don't have a plan because there's no accountability. So that's where we got stuck. There's no accountability for what happens when a given is going to take place. And COVID is a given. But what is the, what is the risk-reward outcome that you have to deliberate and make a decision on? And we just don't have the people that are willing to step up and be accountable for those decisions.
Coach, it felt like, and it's exactly what you're describing, it felt like we had these 3 or 4 months from the start of everything until now, where everyone looked at it and they said, okay, what are we going to do about football season? What are we going to do about sports restarting? What are we going to do about kids going back to school? And it sounds to me, the feeling I get is they sat and sat and sat and said, well, I hope it goes away. I hope it goes away. I hope it goes away. Oh, it didn't go away. It's time for a decision. We're going to pass till the spring. We're not going to make a decision. We're just going to pass till the spring. That's totally what it felt like. They didn't want to make a decision. It's just absolutely painful. The problem that you have with bumping those sports to spring is you have 2-sport athletes that now aren't going to get to compete in both sports. You have way, way worse weather here in Colorado in the spring than we ever do in the fall or the winter. And I'm sitting there going, that made more sense to you to bump the season back until the right in flu season and that kind of thing. And in way worse weather, nothing about this makes sense. It just feels like those people that were calling the shots didn't want to make a decision. So they just kind of passed their turn and said, well, we'll reevaluate in the spring and see if things are any better. And we'll peek out from under our beds then.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on, Coach. And it really is your basic analogy of kick the can down the road is really what we're dealing with. And it's so difficult. I'll try and be fair in my assessment of everybody's role. The problem is it's part of our society and it's probably the real ugly negative side of our culture right now. And you've seen it ramp up year after year after year, as you have so many ambulance chaser type of individuals out there that are saying, hey, you know, if you go ahead and you go ahead with high school sports and my kid does get the virus, I don't care what the circumstances are, I'm going to come after you with my legal team, guns a-blazing, and I will sue you for everything that you have and more if my kid gets sick under these conditions. So don't you dare bring sports back. And then you have the other side where you have the parents saying, hey, I'm going to come after you if we don't have sports because you're denying my kid the opportunity for his scholarship and the opportunity to participate. He only is a teenager once. So we have these two very 180-degree opposite viewpoints, and stuck in the middle are these people that are trying to weigh, you know, okay, what is more of a risk to me personally and who I represent? And there's really no good answer to that. So they're stuck kicking the can down the road. And I think you're right. I think we're just really delaying the inevitable. If we don't have a vaccine by, you know, December or some real strong evidence that we have a vaccine and the virus is dissipating, I even have a very strong worry about what's going to happen this spring that we'll actually be able to pull it off.
Well, I do too. And that's my biggest concern is that we're going to get there and then they're just going to pass again and say, you know what, we'll just give it a shot next year. Well, that's wonderful, except for all these seniors just got screwed out of all the stuff that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, it comes back to just not having that plan and not being willing or being tough enough to exercise that plan.
Right. It does. It just takes, and you know, I'll give kudos and credit to our Chassa commissioner, Rhonda Blanford Green. You know, she's not perfect and has made some poor decisions, but when it came to her stance, she was very willing to be accountable and say, hey, I think we can do this. I think we should do it. I think our kids need it. I think our communities need it. I think our state need it. Let me do it and we'll do the best we can. We're not going to be perfect. We know that. We're going to have some situations that we're going to have to work through. but it's what's best for our kids and our coaches and our communities. And that viewpoint was not accepted. And that's where we stand right now. And, you know, all of us are trying to make the best of it. But it's just such a strange time. I'm just really hurting for our kids and our parents. And, you know, my job is to fix things and make things better. And I, you know, I just don't have any answers or solutions right now. So you just have this really professional and personal view of, you know, you're failing the system and our kids, and you want to make it right by everybody, but we just don't have a pathway to do that right now.
Coach, I'm really glad to hear what you're saying about Chassa, that it wasn't Chassa, you know, pushing this, because you do kind of worry, well, maybe Chassa's just afraid to, you know, get sued and all these kind of things. I do wonder about lawsuits, because I think it'd be really, really difficult to say that a kid intentionally spread it, or that you could prove when they spread it. So I think those lawsuits, I understand that lawsuits would be coming. I think those would be difficult to win. Yeah. I'm not actually a lawyer. I play one sometimes once a week on a podcast, but I'm not actually, I'm not actually a lawyer. But I understand, you know, that I guess that mentality of, well, we, you know, we don't want to get into the lawsuit thing, but I'm glad to hear Chassa sounded like they wanted to go forward with it, because I do think you have to eventually do that, because you do have so many kids whose education is dependent upon their athletics. These are kids that can go on to college. These are kids that the only reason they're in high school, Coach, you and I coach these kids, the only reason they were in school is to play sports. Now you take that away, yeah, the dropout rate's going to skyrocket too.
Yeah, and then, you know, I just reflect back on my time in high school and what drove me and motivated me to get up in the morning and actually sit through the classes I had to sit through that I actually despised, and my gut told me, and I don't know if this is the right approach or wrong approach, but, you know, even as a 16, 17 year old knucklehead like I was, I knew the majority of what was happening in the classroom had absolutely zero impact on what I was going to do with my life. But I was there because I knew at the end of the day, I had to practice and I had to be part of a team, and that kept me going. If I didn't have that, there's no doubt I probably would have dropped out or just attended for the social aspect and got straight F's and, you know, went about my day and, you know, probably looked for different avenues to express my, you know, my teenage angst. But fortunately, I had sports to keep me on track. And we have a lot of that going on right now. It's just, you know, fortunately, we have a lot of clubs and private entities that are picking up the slack where they're giving kids opportunities outside of their remote learning or hybrid learning, whatever format they're utilizing for school right now. And that's a good thing, because back when I was growing up, we didn't have that. You know, we would have been left to our own imagination and creativity to figure out how to take advantage of that time that was not being used for sports. And that would not have been good. So fortunately, we have a lot of community members that understand how important this is. But it also hurts me, because that has always been our role in high schools, is to provide that outlet. And now I think we're letting the clubs and private entities get a foothold on us. And I'm afraid that it might lead to, you know, what happened in Europe and European model, where everything becomes privatized and ran by clubs. I could see that as being a casualty of the COVID era, is that high school sports is kind of pushed to the wayside, and now the clubs and the European model of how you run sports takes over America. It wouldn't surprise me if that happened.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because that was literally my next question. Are we witnessing the end, basically, of high school sports? Because so many kids are going, hey, I know kids that are going to play club right now because they can't play high school. That's taken away from them. I am really, really worried. We've talked about this for years. You and I have talked about this for years. Club sports are coming. High school sports are going away. It's just really weird to us, because that's what we grew up with. That's what we knew. But I think we might be witnessing the beginning of the end of high school sports, which is, it makes me sad. I struggle with it.
Yeah, it's definitely on my mind. And I think we'll always have some type of form where high school provides some of that. But I think you're also seeing it at the next level, at the NCAA level, where college sports, you know, and high school sports might be totally reshaped or reconfigured due to the financial burdens and financial impact that's going to happen over the next probably 2 to 3 years, because this isn't just going to resolve itself quickly.
No.
There's too much money that's been lost, too many things that have been damaged. So how we come out of this, I think in the next 2 to 3 years, is going to be really fascinating. And will there actually be an NCAA, or will the NCAA go more to a minor league farm system for your professional entities? And it is. I mean, we all get it. I mean, the whole, it's a charade. It's, you know, the kids are going to colleges to get an education where, if they're an athlete, where really they're going to try and promote their opportunities to become a professional athlete, in most cases at the highest level. So, you know, I think we're being exposed. And maybe it's a good thing, because it will lead to some dramatic improvements where we're not playing these fantasy games at all these levels. But there's also the real serious risk of, you know, this will all become totally reformatted, and high school sports is one of the casualties.
Coach, let's jump into some of the sports that are restarting. And a sport that, you know, personally, I don't really care that much about, but Major League Baseball is actually really encouraging. I know they've had positive tests. I know they've had a couple clubs have had to shut down for a week or so. But Major League Baseball plays with a fair amount of players. It's not like they're taking 10 guys. They're taking a good amount of players as a roster. They play 30 road games. There's no bubble. And all teams are currently playing again. I think baseball is actually one of the toughest sports to have restarted. And they have restarted because of the large numbers, because of the travel. You knew there were going to be issues. They're probably still going to have issues. I bet we're going to see some more positive tests in Major League Baseball. They've had some bumps, but Major League Baseball keeps going. It's been encouraging to me to watch that.
No, I think you really have two options. And we've seen both options. And what's interesting is, you know, we've seen if you have the money and resources, that if you can provide a bubble, like the NBA is doing, like, you know, hockey has done, it works great. I mean, it really does. They're just going along with hardly a glitch at all. And then you have the other pathway where the Major League Baseball took it and, hey, we know we're going to have problems, but we'll deal with it. And we're going to keep going day by day, and we'll make this work. And really, we know at the high school and college level, that's the model that we have to use. We can't buy the bubble. We don't have the money, the means, the facilities to do that. So if we take the Major League Baseball model and apply it to high school or college football, then I think you can kind of see how it has to be handled. You can see the good, the bad, and the ugly of that scenario. And if you're willing to just stick with your decision, take the heat from people that are going to give you heat, but know that you're doing the right thing, or the thing you want to accomplish, then it can be done. And I'm proud of Major League Baseball. And I'm like you, I'm not a huge spectator of Major League Baseball. And watching the Colorado Rockies makes me even less of a spectator, because they make me sick to my stomach. But, you know, that they have proven that it can be done if you're willing to, you know, take the risk reward part of COVID. And again, they've had players that have tested positive. They've had staff members test positive, but it hasn't stopped them. And I have not heard of anybody being overly sick or hospitalized, which I find very encouraging. And I think the same thing would be true if we were doing that at the high school level. We would have those cases, but I think, like everybody else, you have a minor cold or a small case of the flu. We don't shut that down. And that's really what COVID is presenting to our younger population. The hard part is you have, you know, the people who are saying, well, no, you're going to have long lasting lung and heart issues. Well, I'd like to see the data on that. And if that's true, where our young athletes, if they do get COVID, are having symptoms that could last a lifetime revolving around lung and heart damage, then yeah, I get it. Okay. But I have not seen one shred of evidence of that being the case.
No, I haven't either. And in fact, it sounds like the cases that has happened in, they are older people. And most of them already have some sort of pre-existing condition. That is not usually the case with these young kids. Coach, there's been a lot made of in college football. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 now say they're going to postpone their season to the spring. I think postponing your season to the spring in college football is absolutely insane, because you're opening up this huge can of worms. So playing now outside in the heat would be too dangerous. They're talking about trying to find arenas for them to play games indoors. Playing indoors in the spring during flu season in general, that's going to be safer. That's where we're at as a planet. I don't see how the Big Ten and Pac-12 postponing to the spring, I don't see how it happens. How are you going to ask these kids to play two seasons in one calendar year? It doesn't make any sense to me.
No. And, yeah, I mean, there are so many variables and things that you have to consider when you look at postponing to the spring, both collegiately and in my world with the high school athletic programs. And I think, you know, we could really spend the next 8 hours talking about all this. I really think it just boils back to what we've been talking about. When you don't have a consensus plan, when you don't have a leadership team in place that is spreading the same message, and you have a country as big as ours is with 50 independent states, basically, and each state kind of doing their own planning and their own model, it's a recipe for absolute chaos and disaster. And that's where we're at. I mean, we just don't have a unified plan in this country. We're all paying the price because of that. It's been a lack of leadership from the top down, and people being willing to make this a priority over partisan politics. It's a fiasco, and we're all the victims of it. And how we get out of this cesspool of problems that we have, boy, I don't know, Coach. I don't know if we've got the answers to that, because it's a mess.
Coach, I've learned a number of things during this pandemic, and we've learned that leadership is brutal from, the White House down to your local level of government to commissioners of leagues. Like, our leadership is terrible. We've talked about that. I've learned that this virus is highly, highly intelligent. It knows whether you're at a protest or you're at church or you're at practice or you're at game. It knows all kinds of things. I don't know how it knows it, but it knows it. And I've learned one other thing. Speaking of high school sports, I've learned that the NCAA, Coach, they literally don't do anything. I don't know what they do.
Right.
When all this hit, and we're kind of looking at the NCAA. Okay, so what's the plan? Well, we don't have a plan. You guys figure it out. I don't know what they do. Aside from, like, hand out, I don't know, programs, kind of a slap on the wrist for minor recruiting violations, I can't figure out what they do. We might be seeing the end of the NCAA as well, because aside, like I said, from some eligibility issues, they don't do anything.
Boy, it's very evident. And I think you and I knew this going way back, because we've seen the absolute unbelievable outcomes of some of the basketball investigations that have taken place with some of the corrupt basketball programs.
Yes.
Where it's very, very obvious what's going on, but yet at the end of the day, absolutely nothing is done about it. And that's exactly what's happening with the virus. And now we're not just talking about NCAA basketball and NCAA football. Now those decisions, or lack of decisions, and the lack of a true structure in place that makes critical decisions and makes critical decisions on what a mission and vision should look like for an organization. None of that's in place. And so now the casualties are going to be all of your wrestling, tennis, swim, softball, track and field programs, because they're basically going to go away because they've been exposed and didn't have a plan in place. They didn't have leadership in place. And now it's obviously the tail wagging the dog, and who that tail is, we're not even sure who that is. Is it NCAA football? Is it March Madness? I think it's a combination of both those entities. But again, they're so self-serving on their own agenda, both the basketball and the football side of things, that they're not looking out for the best interest of all student athletes. They're looking out for the best interest of their individual sports. So it's just a really ugly time in our history, in all facets, and it's spilled over to something that's very near and dear to us in the fabric of our society, and that's sports, and it's a mess.
Hey, coming back, we still have more to talk with Russ McKintry about today on The Dose. Does he think the NFL can actually return to play in a few weeks? And what does he think of the NBA playoffs so far? Plus, what teams does he like the most in each conference? We still have a lot to get to today on The Daily Dose. So let's finish up our conversation with basketball coach Russ McKintry. Coach, let's move to some sports that look like they actually might get started. The NFL, hey, they're saying they're going to play as scheduled. They've revamped their schedule to allow some additional bye weeks if teams would need them for like an outbreak or something. It's kind of hard to get excited for the NFL season right now because of all we've been through. It kind of feels like Charlie Brown trying to kick that football that Lucy's holding again. But I think this might actually happen. Do you think the NFL can pull this off?
I'm pretty optimistic that they can. I think there's so much money involved, and I think they're like Major League Baseball. As you know, if you have a strong conviction, it really doesn't matter what your conviction is, as long as you stick to it and you believe in it. And I think the NFL believes in their plan. They're going to stick to it. They're not going to waffle. So, you know, I think they've got a shot. And I'm like you, it's, you know, the fan experience, unlike all sports, the fan experience and what it means to the league, is so critical to the NFL. So I think you're going to see it, but, you know, the impact of a 80,000 seat football stadium that is really helping dictate the outcome of that game, that's going to be a big element or piece of the experience that's going to be gone. So it's going to be something that we're going to have to take it for what it's worth, but it's not going to be the same.
Coach, I look at the restart of the NFL and I see all the testing they're doing and all the things they've got to do. You know, you watch Hard Knocks and you see all the stuff they got to do, social distancing and all that weird stuff and no fans in the stands like you just talked about. And it all feels weird and it all feels strange. Coach, you played high school football. I played high school football. I remember those days in August when you had to start wearing your helmets and your pads. And it was so uncomfortable and it was so hot and I hated it. And that helmet was digging into your forehead and you had that big line. It wasn't as big as Peyton Manning's, but it was big. But after a week or two, it was second nature and you got used to it and you figured it out. And I think football players and NFL fans, you can get used to all the restrictions and the feeling of being uncomfortable. And then you just start moving forward to the games and you start paying attention to the games. I think that can happen if we'll just all kind of suck it up and say, okay, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be weird. And then we're going to move forward and we're going to forget it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And yeah, there was nothing worse than the first week of two-a-day practices.
Oh, I hated it.
And that whole reacclimation to football, because football is such a unique sport with the equipment that you have to wear and the weather and the time of year that you're playing it. And, you know, and muscle groups that are involved that you never use except for when you play football. It's just a really unique sport, but, you know, it's something that we all love. And, you know, Saturdays and Sundays and Friday night high school football is just so important to us. And I'm so thankful that, we are going to have it. It's going to give us something to do, besides, you know, take long walks with our wife or go on a bike ride. It's going to be nice to have that diversion. And I know it's not going to be the same, but, it is going to be great having it back.
Yes, it is. And Coach, we talked a little bit about college football, but I look at some of the conferences that are trying to get going. You look at the SEC, you look at the ACC, you look at even some of the smaller conferences, but even like the Big 12, the difference between those and the Big 10 or the Pac-12 schools, and I think this is key, most of those schools are not in big metropolis cities. They're in smaller cities that are desperate and needing of that money that comes with football. And so you look at the SEC. Well, Starkville isn't Chicago and Gainesville isn't LA. Those towns need that money. They need those programs starting up. I'm cheering for college football. I'll be very honest. I hope the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 and whoever else wants to play, I hope they come back and I hope they have a good product and I hope they figure out again how to make a plan and go forward and get these kids playing and have a successful season. Hey, I'd be glad. When I saw that SEC schedule coming out, I was like, oh no, I'm watching every one of those games. I can't wait. I know the stands might be empty or whatever. I'm going to watch them. Might be weird, but I'm rooting for college football really hard right now.
No, yeah, I am too. And that's a really astute observation. I think you're right. I think, you know, the Big Ten and Pac-12 were, having to take into account that you do have these major metropolitan areas. I mean, really, Boulder is a part of Denver.
Yeah.
All the LA schools, you know, Southern Cal. And then you have the Bay Area schools, Stanford, they're connected to San Francisco. And so some of the largest metropolitan areas, I mean, are definitely part of the equation when you look at those two conferences and how that, opposes the Tuscaloosa, Starksville, or, you know, Auburn and some of these other very small college communities that are 60, 70, 80,000 people. I agree. I think it's the right thing to do. It's a lifeline, life support system for many people throughout the South. And, you know, that NASCAR racing, I mean, are there two go-tos? And if you take those two away from those regions of the country, you're putting the economic stability and financial, access to having a living away from a lot of people. So no, it makes perfect sense. And I am like, I really hope it works out because of selfish reasons, but also for helping other people that I know are struggling so badly right now.
Coach, while you are here, I've got to get your thoughts on the NBA. The NBA playoffs are fully rolling now. I'll give them credit. They've done a good job of keeping that bubble safe. The optics are a little bit weird, and I think the politics that they've gotten in bed with are driving a lot of people away, so the ratings are in the toilet. But I've actually enjoyed watching the NBA games and the NBA playoffs. I think it's a lot of fun. I gotta ask you a couple things about the NBA playoffs, though. I do wonder, some of these players that we're seeing go off, we're seeing some players that maybe go, he's having a great night. Wow, he's playing better than he's ever played in his life. And I'm wondering if they're doing so well, some of these certain players, because they don't have any distractions. They're just focusing on basketball. Maybe they're not out at the club the night before and they're just focusing on their game. We're seeing some players step up that they don't usually step up. We're seeing some young, unknown players we've never heard of down in the bubble. They're flourishing. Makes me wonder what they're doing when they were out of the bubble playing before.
No, I think it's been a equalizer and a force of stability that has been put upon the players that they've never had to deal with. And it's been really good for, like you say, for a lot of them because of the focus level, because of the health reasons, because of the lack of distractions in their personal life. And you're right, because, you know, we've talked about it before, and I was fortunate enough to have some players that played at that level. And, you know, the lifestyle and what they do outside of basketball really is not conducive to, you know, being the best player you can be or to being the best teammate you can be. So they're being forced to do that now. And I think you're seeing that with some of the play. And you're right. I mean, the Donovan Mitchells, the Damian Lillards, the CJ McCollums, a lot of these borderline superstars are playing out of their minds right now. And it's really been fun to watch. And some of the individual performances are just, really incredible. So yeah, there's a lot of positive things going on with the NBA. And you're right. I think some of the Black Lives Matter propaganda has driven some people that would be casual observers of the NBA away. But for the most part, I've really enjoyed it.
I have too. I'm watching pretty much every single night. I'm watching the NBA. I'm flipping back and forth between it and the NHL. It's been highly entertaining. It's been really fun. Yes, the optics are a little bit weird. I can get over that. To me, coach, it looks like when we're coaching summer league or something, you start getting into that mode and you're like, okay, yeah, it's just basketball. At the end of the day, it's just basketball, which I enjoy. Coach, I want to get your thoughts on both sides in the NBA playoffs. Over on the Eastern side, there's a lot of talent over there. I think the East is so much better than it's been in the past few years. The Milwaukee Bucks, they've got a ton of size. I think they need more ball handlers and some more shooters, but they're right there. The Toronto Raptors, I think they're really sneaky. I think they're really good. If they can generate some half-court offense, they could win it again. The Boston Celtics look great. The Miami Heat, I think, are sneaky. I really like their toughness. Who do you like over on the Eastern side coming out in the NBA playoffs?
Well, you're right. And I like all those teams you just mentioned. And I think they all have shots, but they all have bugaboos. They all have their weaknesses that have to be accounted for and overcome. Sure. Injuries are playing a big part. You know, Gordon Hayward going down for the Celtics, I think, is big. The one team that just seems to be kind of like the Denver Nuggets of the East is the 76ers.
Yes.
They seem to be lost. So I'm not going to really put them up there as a team that I hold out hope for. But I'm like you. Anytime you give any type of team, whether professionally, collegiately, high school, an agenda or a rallying call, watch out for that team. And I think it's Toronto with Kawhi leaving and them being disrespected and really blown off and ignored. I would hate to face that team because they look like they're a team on a mission. So I don't think they're the most talented team. I don't think they're the team that should win it, but they're the team that I would be scared to face.
I would too. And I would be scared to try to beat them four times. You might get them once. You might get them twice, maybe three. I don't know if you can get them four. I think they are so mentally tough. And coach, you know how much it means to understand what it takes to win. It's a different level of thinking and it's a different mentality that those guys have. They know what it takes to win.
Yeah.
They've already done that. And Nick Nurse, that head coach, he is not afraid to mix things up. He's not afraid to do some things defensively. I really like what Toronto does. I think they are so sneaky over there. I know they might not get the headlines. I think Boston's right there too. Like some of the things Miami does. And of course, Milwaukee's got Giannis and the talent that he is. But yeah, I like Toronto as well. I think they are just so sneaky over there. Moving over to the Western side, the Los Angeles Lakers can't shoot, but they've got a lot of pieces. And for me, I think they go as far as Anthony Davis takes them. The Los Angeles Clippers, they look really good on paper. Sometimes they look good. Sometimes they don't look so good. The Utah Jazz are killing the Nuggets. I want to talk about the Nuggets here in a minute. Houston has surprised me a little bit so far. They've beaten Oklahoma City. They look pretty strong. Who do you like coming out of the West? Is there a team that stands out to you over there?
Well, I think it kind of goes to very similar to the East. I think I couldn't say, hey, this is the one to finish. I thought the Lakers might be, but they are lacking a third and maybe a fourth, score that they can depend on. And is Anthony Davis, is he dominant enough like the kid from Milwaukee, Giannis?
Yeah.
Is he good enough to carry him through? I don't know. He's close. But if you had to make a decision, I'd say I think he's close, but I don't think he's quite good enough to do it. And then you take a look at the Clippers, who I think probably should be. I think they're like the Celtics. I think the Celtics should be the team. I think the Clippers should be the team. But yet I'm not totally sold on that yet. So yeah, I think the others, the Jazz, the Rockets, I think are all very talented, but yet, they have some deficiencies as well. So we'll see.
Coach, I'm watching Luka Doncic with the Dallas Mavericks going against the Clippers, and I'm watching the different looks that the Clippers are giving him, and he learns really fast. Like, he's like, oh, you did this last time? Okay, I'm not going to make that same mistake. You might have got me once, but I'm learning. He adjusts so quickly, and man, is he a strong young kid. I really like watching that kid.
Yeah, I do too. He's a, for a 19, 20-year-old kid, mentally, he's so advanced in the way he approaches the game and has that even-keeled disposition. And, there's just, he reminds me of a little bit more athletic Larry Bird. Larry Bird, I felt, was a mastermind of basketball, who really had all the natural senses and maybe even a sixth sense of how the game's played and was one step ahead of everybody. Luka kind of reminds me of Larry Bird, but just bigger, stronger, faster,
yep,
a little bit more skilled. So yeah, he's an up and comer. I'm a little bit concerned once you start having ankle problems and health problems, at such a young age. That worries me a little bit, but hopefully with today's, modern practices and rehab and equipment, they can get him back to a healthy state, because if they can keep him healthy, that kid's really special.
Coach, I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to have to. Our Denver Nuggets are terrible. maybe they play their way back into it, but I don't see any hope for them. And the biggest thing, when I watch the Nuggets and when I watch them facing the Utah Jazz, the Jazz go out and they specifically target Nikola Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. on defense because they're so bad. I love Jokic's game offensively. Coach, he couldn't play for us at the high school level. You'd have sat him on the bench already because he doesn't understand the most fundamental concepts of even like ball you man. He has no grasp of that concept. It is painful to watch the Nuggets play defense of any kind.
And I've been thinking a lot about this, Dales, and I'm upset. I've been agonizing over this because I've been trying to figure out, and I've seen it develop in the same format year after year under Coach Malone, and I really like Coach Malone, but I think there is a broken trust there between he and his players, and I think it started way back because I think he allows the players either not to be taught properly, and he's not teaching them the right things defensively, and they're just ignoring him, or he doesn't know how to teach him, because I've noticed from way back, including last year when they lost to the Trailblazers, those players have no concept of how to play ball, man ball, pick and roll defense.
No.
And so what they do is they let Joker float off. They don't hedge. They don't get over the top of screens. They don't help people get over the top of screens. And so automatically you can see what, like Quinn Snyder of the Jazz has done. They just initiate their offense with the pick and roll. It automatically puts us into a scramble situation. And what it leads to is you make one extra pass, find the open man. His feet are always set. He has no defensive pressure. And you give the best shooters in the world a wide open set shot. They're going to kill you. And the other thing that they can't do is, because of the scramble situation, they're always closing out, which gives up blow-bys and penetration to the rim. So the players actually have no chance to succeed. And I can't tell if they are putting that upon themselves and they just don't want to work hard enough, or if they haven't been taught that. And then to add insult to injury, you know, you tank in order to face Utah, and your best players are kept on the bench, and you know Jamal Murray and some of these players are just seething because they want to go out and win these games that matter to them, but their coach or whoever's making the decision to tank. And then on top of that, Utah Jazz are back there saying, oh yeah, you want to tank and get us? Okay, here's what you're going to get when you get it. So they're extremely motivated and pissed because they know the Nuggets want to play them and not the Mavericks. So now you've given them every incentive in the world to come out and kick your ass. And we, you know, that's all set up by somebody that isn't a player. So I'm very, very upset with Coach Malone because I think his actions of how he's handled Michael Porter Jr., how he's taught defense, how he tanked, has just led up to this total lack of distrust from his players. Like, guy, you're crazy because this isn't what we're all about. I hope I'm wrong about that, but that's the vibe I'm getting.
Coach, I think you're 1,000% correct because I'm watching the same thing and I'm thinking the exact same thing. What in the world are these guys getting? And have they just completely checked out on him because he's not giving them? Players are all the same in one regard. They will listen to you if you're going to help them because all players want to get better. So if you're going to give me any kind of coaching, teaching, this is going to help me be a better player, then I'll listen. If you won't, then I'll check out and I won't listen. And I'm looking at them and they look at Malone like, what are you doing for me? Dude, you might be getting fired next year. Now I'm starting to wonder, is Malone on his way out in Denver? Because if you end up getting just ripped by the Jazz in the first round, how many more years do you have with Jokic and Murray in their prime? You got to win some games. They have nothing to show for that. Not even a playoff series win. Mike Malone might be in some real hot water.
Yeah, and you know, I've been around the game long enough, and you have been too, and I always, the eyes are the window to the soul, and I look at Joker's eyes, I look at Jamal Murray's eyes, Millsap, and to me, their eyes are very telling in that they are really hurting because they want to respect, they want to like Coach Malone, but they also know that the guy doesn't have a clue and he's let him down. And so I think emotionally they are really, really struggling. And I think it's being evidenced by, you know, as soon as adversity hits, they just shut down because they know they're not going to get help to get over the adversity. They know they can't defend the way they're being taught or allowed to defend. And they can't get loose balls. They can't get rebounds. And that's a toughness factor that's, really, that's the coach's job. If there's anything a coach can do, as we all know, is you're going to teach effort, mental toughness, you know, playing harder than your opponent so that you can rebound, so you can get loose balls, so you can fight through picks. And those are the things that really don't show up in stats, but they matter so much more than stats. And that they're so deficient in that area that they're the worst four-letter you can think of. And we talk about that all the time. They're soft.
Yep.
And I think there are players that know they're soft, don't want to be soft, but they have no answer or strategy to get out of it. And it repeats itself game after game after game, year after year after year, because not once have I seen any adjustment with the pick and roll game. We're getting over the top. I'm doing a hard hedge or getting over the top and help and recover and show and recover. And so nothing has changed. And so you have these guys like Donovan Mitchell and, you know, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, they're like baseball hitters going to Coors Field.
Yeah.
It's a get right opportunity. They know as soon as they play the Nuggets, hey, I'm going to go from averaging 22 a night because I'm going to get 40 because these guys have no clue how to stop penetration or how to stop pick and roll. I'll get anything I want anytime I want. And that's a horrible feeling for players that know that other players feel that way about them. I think they're in real trouble, Dales. I think they have been in trouble and they're just, you know, they don't know how to address it.
Coach, it's so funny because I'm looking at Nikola Jokic's eyes and I'm seeing the same thing and I'm almost seeing it. Can someone help me? Can someone tell me what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I know I'm not doing it right, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. It is painful. to watch. I really, really hope they go get some, because they've got some talent here. They have a nucleus of talent that could win some games. I'm not saying they could contend for a title this year, but they have more talent than they're showing, and it has been absolutely brutal to watch. Coach, every time I have you on to, you know, talk. We wanted to have you on today and talk about, you know, high school sports and sports coming back and the NBA getting going and stuff. You absolutely crush it every time you come in. I want to thank you so much for coming in, laying out exactly, you know, how the whole restart of high school went and the restart of sports in general. There are people out there that don't understand how those things work, but you do. And I want to thank you for coming in and sharing that with people that are listening. I am hoping that the next time you come on, we're talking about the NFL and we're talking about college football and things are getting up and things are getting rolling and things are getting better. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts on the restart of sports with us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, I had so much fun, and I have to apologize to you and everybody. I sometimes we get stuck in the negative, but there's just a lot of negative stuff going on right now. But as you know, I'm the internal optimist, and I think things are going to pick up and we're going to get through this shortly. We just got to be, professional and do the things that we need to do to get through the next few months. And I think before long, we're going to be getting back to some type of normal situation where we're enjoying sports and life again. So we just got to hang in there and make the best of it for right now, but we'll get through this.
Coach, I think the biggest thing is we might need to get you into some sort of head position at Chassa or something. Because we need smart people. I know you had good things to say about Chassa. We need smart people in those positions. We need people like you in the positions that you're in that bring some sense and some toughness and some leadership that we are sorely aching for right now on this planet, in this country. I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us. You know you are welcome anytime, but thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey, be good, be safe, and really enjoyed our time together.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be doing our best to keep you up to date with the latest happenings in the world of sports. But you know, that NFL season is coming, and it's coming quickly. We are going to begin to take a deep dive into the upcoming NFL season. What storylines are we going to be talking about? What should we be looking for? Who are actually the biggest contenders? We are going to begin our NFL preview next week on The Dose, so you've got to make sure that you stop by and you check that out. Also, don't forget to go over to YouTube, subscribe to our Daily Dose channel, just look for our Daily Dose logo, and I will leave links everywhere for you so that you can make sure that you find it. Hey, I have to say thank you so much to Russ McKinstry for stopping by and sharing your thoughts with us. We always enjoy your visits. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to that YouTube channel. Thank you for giving us positive ratings and positive comments. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.